It's another edition of the Falls Cast brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, October 31st, Halloween night, we are...
Ooh.
Spooky.
That was my spooky voice.
That was very spooky. We are
Thank you.
We are lucky to have a really bright full moon tonight, and while it's a little bit chilly, there have been trick-or-treaters out doing their trick-or-treating, and... You know, it's actually better than last Halloween, because last Halloween it was all rainy and kind of gross. So it's a good one. Plus Halloween on a Saturday. I mean, how much better could you get than that? Not much, I don't think.
And a full moon. The moon.
Blue moon.
I haven't even started drinking yet. Yeah. Moon.
Yeah, you and your root beer. We are happy to be joined on this Halloween evening at 10 p.m. We've never done a late night recording of the Falls Cast before, by some of our favorite Falls Casters, including Miss, I guess Mrs., Suzanne Searle.
It's Ms. Hello.
The bald and the beautiful Mike Searle.
I still hate you, Alex. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, that's how we know
BFFs.
We're BFFs. He's my best friend. We also have with us the amazing Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
And we are joined this night also by my wife, her first ever Falls Cast appearance, balancing out the Suzanne energy, maybe?
Yes. All thank right. you. I needed it.
A pleasure to
female.
Be here. I'll see what I can do.
Yes, it's Lisa Hall, y'all. See what I did there?
I see what you did there. Don't do that again.
She treats me about as good as Mike does.
Ah. So she hates you too?
Is that what you're saying?
That's why Mike and I get along so well.
So you picked up on that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we're also lucky to have with us my mom, Jenny Ostendorf. Mom, say hi.
Hi.
She does not live in Cuyahoga Falls. So
boo.
We say boo, yeah.
But it's another Falls town.
It is a falls. She lives in Monroe Falls, a transplant from Cincinnati some 4 months, three months ago. Yeah. She moved here to be closer to me because she wanted to comfort me because of the abuse that I take regularly from Mike.
You yeah. love it.
I understand.
You love it.
Yeah. That's
say you love it or you'll fall down the stairs again.
I love you. I mean, wait, what?
Trickster.
So on this Halloween night, we decided we were not going to do our usual Falls Cast for a couple of reasons. One, I haven't gotten a newspaper yet.
Sad, but true.
And even when I do, they half the time just turn into like piles of mush at the end of my driveway. Because for some reason, about 2 months ago, they started all just kind of ending up at the end of the driveway instead of on my porch where they usually were. And yeah, we could have gone online and looked up articles, but we decided to do this special 21st episode of the Falls Cast that Bart informed us before we started recording is not actually the 21st edition of the Falls Cast.
It seems the numbers guy.
It's either the 22nd or the 20th, depending on if you count roundtable discussions. And our joke was that we would do it as the 21st one because now we're legal age to drink.
Yeah, finally I am.
So I know. So
we've waited so long.
So we went out and we all got drinks and we thought it would be cool to do kind of like what we used to do in Tap Talk. Me and Mike and sometimes guests, you know, reviewing local beers. But this time kind of make it like a behind the scenes podcast about the Falls Cast. So... That's what we're going to do.
Cheers.
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 So you do it in the microphone so you can hear the clinks. Yeah, that's pretty good. Bart, just clink your microphone. He flicked it. I think he would have flicked me if I had been.
I would have. I would have flicked with my knuckles.
Or boxed your ear.
Yeah.
Face.
So, we want to thank everybody for joining the Falls Cast this week, and we will resume our normal podcasts next week, hopefully in a good mood following Election Day 2020, which is this Tuesday. So
yes.
By the time you hear this, it will probably have passed, If we get off our butts and get it done quickly, then maybe you'll hear it right before Election Day. But if we made it that early, then make sure you get out there and vote. Probably vote in person at this point.
Vote.
Yeah.
Fingers Drop off crossed. Your ballots in the box.
Fingers Drop crossed. On. Knock on wood.
I've been knocking on wood all week. All year. For the last 3.5 years.
There's a joke there that I'm not going to say.
You sort of said it by not saying.
Oh, well, we were all thinking it. Yeah. Okay, Mike.
I'm trying to be nice.
He's going to use this. He's going to use this podcast to turn my mother against me. Is what's going to happen.
Yes. Excellent. It's my plan.
She's moving back to Cincinnati.
No, I think you're stuck with me.
So, yeah, we are still producing articles, as we usually say, over at FallsFreePress.com. And we're lucky to have an article from Bart this week about the We the People art exhibit at Highbridge Glens. So go over to our website and check that out. And Suzanne did write an article.
I did. And all by myself.
She put her own name on it.
Nice.
I put my own. Yeah, I'm putting my own name on it. It's fancy.
Because we don't have, we haven't really scoured the news for a proper podcast this week, and because we were going to drink beer on Halloween night at 10 p.m. anyway, we can talk a little bit about how we got started, and that's actually, Jen can be in on that conversation, because Jen was there at the very beginning.
Yes, yes.
She was in the
meeting. The very first meetings, yes.
So
yeah,
it was.
I hung in for a few, but then I ran away.
Yeah, she's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
I don't have time for that noise.
She helps out here. So it was James Lloyd Davis, Jim Davis, who recently
yes.
wrote that book of short stories, Shrapnel, who we had on the podcast as an interviewee, 2 weeks ago? He and I met over at Eddie's Deli on Oakwood Drive. And conceived of this idea because we had talked about it privately, like, wouldn't it be cool if we had something like this? And I had already been thinking about it, and he put it out there on Facebook, and so we got together.
How did you meet him? How did you meet Jim?
You know what's funny is I was at a meeting, and they were using a building that had like a really long boardroom table in it, and then off to one side they had a couple of chairs just for like people who were kind of coming to like check it out. And he sits down next to me. He introduces himself as Jim Davis, and I said, oh, I love your Garfield cartoons.
Oh, no.
Took him a
just
second.
A dad joke right on him.
Right on him. Right. It took him a second, too, and then he starts cracking up, and he goes, I've never heard that one before. And I'm like, how have you never heard that one before? So that's how I met him, but it was a long time after that we talked about it on you know, starting up a free press. And so you guys know the rest, basically, because shortly thereafter, he put it out on Facebook. He started a Facebook group, and the next thing you know, we were meeting at Studio 2051, which I think Steven and Jen, weren't you guys the one that kind of made that happen?
Yeah. It was my idea to go there. Because
Amy had the free space, and you guys could use it on certain times. We even had Steve's dad, my father-in-law, came for one, but that wasn't going anywhere.
He didn't want to work, so...
Yeah, he didn't want to mark it.
It would have cut into his television time, and that would have been rough for him.
That's understandable.
Yeah, all streaming, he takes streaming very seriously.
Hey, you got to.
Yeah, but you guys were at the Studio 2091 for like a month or two.
Or four times we met there, right?
And then
we met every week. I mean, I remember it was still really cold. So we must have started in like February or something,
like February.
Then. We actually, I think before we went to Giant Eagle, we met like, twice at the YMCA.
That's the first meeting.
Yes, that's right.
And I remember, Suzanne and Mike, that was your first meeting.
Yeah.
Bart, you were at Mother's Ball, right?
Yeah, I was at like, I think the second meeting.
Yeah. So we had a big group. We had like, I'd say maybe 20, 25 people.
It was a lot. I remember. Yeah.
And it was just a lot of people who were really motivated to have the thing. And then as we started to kind of like figure out what we actually needed to make it happen, we started sloughing off people. Just, you know, they didn't really have the time, or they didn't act, you know, maybe they didn't think it was going anywhere.
It got too serious.
It was work. And then the likelihood any of us going to get paid anytime soon was nil. And some people just probably couldn't hang with that idea because it's, you know, you're coming home from work and then you have to go work again. And you want to be with your kids. You want to hang out with your spouse or your significant other. And then it's not going to happen on that meeting day. And I still go through that sometimes on Tuesdays at 5:30 because she comes home at like 5:15, 5:30. And so I got to. And I cook. She doesn't cook.
Where's my dinner?
So I have to. Yeah. So I gotta cook.
It's that damn meeting food. Again.
Yeah, the damn meeting again. And then I have to go buy Subway. So I have to cook dinner, or she has to buy dinner ahead before she gets home, and then she has to take care of the dog. She has to do everything else.
So it was a commitment, yeah.
So she suffers when I do those meetings.
Oh yes, I suffer
terribly.
That's such a spoiled bullshit.
So. Mike and Suzanne, what was your first memory of that, your first meeting? Like, what's the one thing that sticks out in your mind about that?
I think when we came in, you guys were meeting at the Y, and you were talking about design on what you wanted the, I think Matt was there, and he was trying to figure out what the Falls Free Press logo was going to look like. So I do remember, it was the first time I met all you guys. I didn't know any of you, so... I do remember dragging Mike along with me because I heard about it on Facebook, and I'm like, "This sounds really cool. Let's go do it." And I didn't want to come by myself, so.
And he's still with us. We must have done something right.
Yeah,
because he loves me.
I fucking hate you.
It is true. He does love Alex, and that's why.
Don't let anybody. I will punch him in the face.
He saw me that first time, and he was like, "Oh, potential bestie."
That is my best friend.
I said potential flying arm.
I love him already.
Jealous of your hair.
And it's many forms.
It's many multi. Yeah.
Nope. Mike, what do you remember?
Not a goddamn thing. No, I mostly remember just like sitting there going, "What the fuck am I doing here?" I mean, she's the one who wanted to do it. I got dragged into it, but I'm like,
Mike's
why not?
Mike's like, lame.
Nerds. No, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't initially into it that much. I just kind of was just there along for the ride and would write a couple things here and there. But now I got suckered into it and now I actually like doing it. You know,
it's a good
even
thing.
Even though everybody
for...
hates listening to my bullshit,
but... it's something we can do together.
True.
You know, so I mean, it doesn't take us away from each other.
But do we hate Alex the same?
No, I think you have a special hate for him.
Yes. That is the correct answer.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to take that away from
nobody
you guys.
Hates Alex.
Bullshit.
He means love in parentheses.
He does. Yeah. When he says hey, he means love. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Opposite day.
Bart, tell us what you remember about that first meeting that you were at.
I remember a lot of screaming back and forth. I don't think anything got accomplished other than saying what we should do. And looking back 2 years, is it 2 years later?
I think it's a little over 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years later, nothing we talked about back then has been accomplished now. With the exception of the calendar.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we thought we were going to be a print newspaper, right? We were very adamant that that was what we wanted to be. We weren't going to have the money or the time.
Certain people weren't. I wasn't with print. Print's dead.
Yeah,
that
well,
was my thought.
You're right. I mean, it was a discussion, right? And I mean, we spent a lot of time in those first couple meetings kind of like identifying like what everybody wanted to see, exchanging contact information. You know, Jim was kind of our leader at that time, so he would pontificate a lot about, you know, what he wanted to do with the whole thing, and you know,
that whole first year was all about print and getting it done, built, put to fruition, and making the copies because you had several copies.
We did do it.
So that was like the whole first year was the print paper and doing it.
You should see our garage.
I've got copies in my car.
Yeah.
Jen, you didn't last long. What do you remember about those first couple meetings?
Yeah, there was lots of trying to figure out who was going to do what, who was responsible for what. And then by the next meeting that came around, no one really did what they were supposed to do too much because it was a pretty Herculean task. But, you know, after a few meetings, it started to come along and people were, you know, the ones that were in their roles and really committed you know, put their heads down and did the nitty gritty and got it done. I mean, you know, the website designers and the, with the logo and finding, you know, printing press or whoever and getting the prices and fundraising. It was crazy. I remember, you know,
especially
asking for money
volunteer.
And doing ads and yeah, it was a commitment. It was hefty. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
I mean, obviously there's, it's still here in some form, maybe not the original form.
Yeah. Well, so we spent a lot of time just trying to get together a sample issue that we could then use to shop for potential advertisers.
Advertisement.
We got that out, and it took like forever, but we finally put it together. We were real satisfied with the end product, and
we did get some advertising too. I mean,
we got a little
all
bit
did some footwork, and
we did. We went. A lot of us did, and it wasn't only just doing the advertise or looking for the advertisers, but it was also delivering those papers. Mm-hmm. So once we decided, okay, we're going to move forward, we're going to have another issue that'll be a real issue and not a, like a quote-unquote sample issue, then it was like we had to spend all that time going to every business we could think of in Cuyahoga Falls and delivering stacks, and it took forever and ever and ever. And we did one more print issue, which is very clear that it wasn't sustainable because there wasn't the market for the advertising. Everywhere we put a copy of the Falls Free Press, there was a copy of the Devil Strip, and sometimes West Side Leader, and even Falls News Press. It just wasn't going to be something we could do, you know, by funding through advertising. So it was at that point, I think, probably maybe, what, like a year in, we decided basically to go full on digital.
Ran out of the dollars.
What seemed really clear to me, though, as we moved into being like all digital, was just like that, like, you know, we're all just, I always say to people, like, this is a newspaper, you know, that's run by concerned citizens. So, I mean, and it sounds really cheesy, but that's really what we are. I mean, all of us actually care about local politics. We care about our community.
Yeah,
we care about what goes on here. We care about local businesses, you know, and that's really been up into the time of starting the Fallscast, which was kind of a product of COVID-19. It just was, you know, our way of kind of like making sure that there was this other voice in the city. And if you look back at our mission statement, that was really what it was about, right? We talked about how we wanted to be the voices from the left bank, which that's left over from Jim Davis being on board. And I really still think that that's a great way of putting it. It's not that we're leftist, although most of us, I think, lean left. If not, you know, fly all the way to the leftmost end of the spectrum. You know, that's what I really am proud of when I think about the Falls Free Press and everything that we've accomplished is just that, you know, we really, I think, show that there are people in this community who care about it and want to make sure that, you know, people are informed about what's going on, not just in local politics, but, you know, touring Ohio Brewing before it got to open, you know, talking to the people from the works, shining a spotlight on a transgender organization, or, you know, putting up a
arts and culture.
Yeah, a slideshow, the Pride Parade, or whatever it might be, you know. And I think that that's really been what's great about what we're doing, you know, even still. In spite of the fact that now a lot of our energy is going into the Fallscast. And plus, I mean, you know, I guess it bears repeating here because people who listen to this may not actually know us personally, that we're all friends now, too. I mean, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest, that's the best thing that came out of it for me anyway.
That it became a family. I like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Except for Alex. I still hate Alex.
Sometimes we fight. Sometimes we fight, too. I mean, like, that's, you know, how much of a family we are.
I think you and I probably butt the head the most, Alex, where we will.
Sure. I mean, that might be true, but I mean, listen, so Nikki Sebula used to be in our group. She, I think, maybe drove you guys to the first meeting, or did you guys drag her there?
I don't know if we dragged her.
Yeah, I don't know if we,
Because I think you were interested in it, and
she just
you
kinda,
and her,
she
kind of tagged along with you at the time.
Nikki was somebody who I had a lot of respect for her, but she always was kind of on the other side of whatever the debate was about the paper from me. And what I really learned from that was that it was valuable having her there, because it was good to have somebody who, you know, totally disagrees with me. And I think that is sometimes like why maybe Suzanne and I butt heads, because, you know, maybe there is something that we disagree on. And I really appreciate that. I mean, even it's so easy to get frustrated. I mean, and especially in these days when it's like a lot of, you know, the way we communicate with each other, I don't mean you and me, but like all people, is like through text messages, or in our case, like on a chat thread, or, you know, a Facebook message or a Facebook thread or whatever it is, you know, that we can have those arguments and like still be able to like, you know, use it to our advantage, I think is great. So, I mean,
yeah. I suffer from constant, I'm a dickitis. I'm always a grouchy asshole, so
welcome to the club.
Your role, then.
Yeah.
So yeah. In March, obviously the coronavirus pandemic shut down everything pretty much. And I listen to podcasts just incessantly. It occurred to me that it would be cool if we made our own podcast, especially since at the time we weren't really able to get together at all. So we had a Zoom call. I think it, you know, when Zoom was still like a new thing that most people hadn't done yet. You know, we talked in the Zoom call about maybe doing a podcast, and I feel like I was really excited about it, and everybody else was kind of like, okay, maybe.
Meh.
Yeah, like what?
Nobody wants to hear us.
Are you kidding me? I'm still like, okay, maybe.
Bart, what was your feeling about it? Because you were already like part of two different podcasts.
Yeah, I was kind of unsure, because I was wondering, you know, whether we could get the news out, you know, this way, and how often we were going to record, whether it was going to be, you know, was it going to be once every week? Was it going to be once a month? You know, it was hard to say. We were getting the news out in article form, but we weren't getting, you know, a whole lot out, because just a small group of us.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if, you know, podcasting was going to work for us, if based on our, you know, our range of print already.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we definitely have done less of the print stuff, not print, but like that, less of the articles and things since we started doing the podcast. But I think it was also, it was quite a big chunk to kind of bite off to do a weekly podcast. You know, our process is basically that, like, you know, we want to have an interview and a roundtable discussion every week. And no matter who's there, we're going to have the roundtable discussion. But sometimes finding an interview, especially on short notice, can be difficult. So, you know, we maintain this chat thing, Slack. A lot of people know about Slack. We have a Slack channel that we use to communicate. And then usually one of us, a lot of times it's either me or Bart, we'll figure out somebody to interview, get that interview done separately, and then we'll meet usually on Tuesday nights to do a roundtable discussion. But yeah, a lot of times it's a scramble, because we also create an outline to know kind of what we're going to talk about. And I know I'm not the only one who has ever showed up to the roundtable discussion without really having prepared effectively for the roundtable discussion.
This guy right here.
I usually try to at least read it once. And thankfully, I usually follow all of the articles that usually it references. So even if I don't read the outline, I typically know pretty much what we're talking about already. Thankfully, but not always, you know. And it's thankfully I'm good at bullshitting. So
what you know?
No, never.
Everyone in the group, or are you just bragging?
Or like you just say I'm full of shit? That's probably more accurate. Yeah,
we say that after you sign off. But we love you all the same.
Well, I appreciate it. I love everyone too. I don't hate anyone, unlike, you know, Mike, who hates you.
I love everybody, but
good God, if you push leave him me off for Mike, I swear.
Sexuality is a complicated thing.
Right?
Bend over. Oh wait, never mind.
It's a very complicated thing.
What are you talking about? It's like the easiest thing in the world.
Well, you know.
It's a plate of rice.
What, like, change at a moment's notice?
Jen flying in like the voice of reason. Like.
Just doing the scientific idea, yeah. Very easy.
Makes the world go round.
Yeah, consenting adults, whatever.
Meanwhile, Bart's like back there like, you guys, that's not even, you're not even funny.
This is normal.
Every time?
This is pretty much, yeah.
See, Bart's job is basically to try to record everything we're saying so he can put it on the podcast when he tries to upload it.
My goal is to see how many times I can make Bart shake his head.
He's like, okay, like, I gotta rewrite it.
No, you should have grown up by it. You know, you should.
Can I be on this call every week?
Welcome to hell, Lisa. Welcome to hell.
This is not normally like this. I don't think we're normally this bad.
Not normally this bad yet.
We're none of us usually are drinking in the middle of the day.
That's actually a great transition, because what we were going to do, or the other thing we were going to do, was we were going to do like a virtual tap talk for this episode. So since we don't have an interviewee.
Do the music. Cue up the music.
So we haven't done a tap talk since... Was it Arshay? It couldn't have been Arshay.
I think it was Arshay.
Oh my god.
Was that with Drew?
Yeah. It's been a long time. So what we would do is Mike and I and sometimes a guest would get together at a brewery, since Cuyahoga Falls is becoming the brewery capital of the county here.
Craft brews.
And we would do like flights of beer. And so we've been to Hi-Ho, we've been to Arshay, we've been to MacArthur's. Actually, you guys went to MacArthur's without me. So I wasn't able to.
MacArthur's was good.
MacArthur's was real good.
That was fun. They're super crowded now. We drove past their patio. They've expanded it. They've hung out lights. Mm-hmm. It looks really busy.
Yeah, they do live music and stuff too now.
It looks amazingly COVID friendly.
It is. Well, and they have food trucks occasionally. And it's
what's that one right on the river? Something river. Missing River or something? I don't know.
Oh, Missing Mountain. That was our very first one.
Missing Mountain. Yeah.
It was our very first one. I really like Missing Mountain. But we haven't been back there for quite a while. I mean, because we haven't been anywhere for quite a while.
What's everyone's opinion on how winter is going to affect the business of a lot of these restaurants and breweries in the area? Because a lot of them had expanded their patios and were relying on patio, you know, patio business in order to keep them afloat. But now there's not going to be a patio thing anymore because it's too freaking cold. Who wants to sit outside when it's 30 degrees and drink beer?
I think people will, will put on a parka and stand out there next to the outdoor heater thing and drink beer standing up.
If they can find them.
Yes, there will be definitely some hardcore people doing that, but I won't be one of them. And that's just, that's not fun.
It's not
fun. Boomer.
I would rather hang out with my friends in the garage with masks than, or social distance 6 foot away than get some strange brewery.
You have to wear a mask.
You know, well, whatever. I'll put a straw in there, and then
I might have to drink water next.
Will you still go down and get a growler though? Like, say hi ho.
Yeah, I would. I mean, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think, you know, with the growler business, you know, the availability of people to get their beers there and still support that local brewery or nano brewery, microbrewery, whatever you want to call it.
We did a lot of carryout.
That's what we do. You know,
we try to do that too. But that's just a drop in a bucket compared to what they were doing.
It is.
Before.
It
you
is.
Know, and that's, these are new businesses. It's hard to keep afloat with just that.
Yeah.
You know, and that worries me. You know, there's no doubt a lot of people are going to be hurting this winter.
Yeah.
And, and a lot of people just don't give a shit anymore. They'll just go to the bar anyway and sit there and just drink and they'll like pretend COVID's not a big deal. They're like, oh, well, so what if I get it? I'll just live my life and I'm not going to let it change my life, because a lot of people are tired of it.
Yeah,
I think we're tired of it.
Yeah, I think we're hit. A lot of people hitting the wall now, and that's what's causing a lot of the spikes. People just don't care.
As it gets colder, though, I mean, as we get to like freezing temperatures, people wouldn't be outside anyway. I mean, I can remember being at shows of yours where I'm outside freezing my butt off, smoking a cigarette.
I have played concerts before in October, where like I had to get those hand warmer things. In between each songs, like each song, I'd have them in my hands, you know, so that I could like warm my hand long enough to like play the next song.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, as you get into like December, January, February is when it gets so cold. And,
yeah.
And they're not going to be able to let people, a lot of people in. They're going to have a max of a number of people to let in.
Well, and I mean, honestly, we've been out to eat twice since this started.
And, 7 months.
And I'm less likely to go out to eat when it's, you know, January. Because the warmth and the moisture indoors is just going to make things spread so much easier. And
maybe their food carry-out business. I don't know how many of them really have that much food.
Well, I think that's what Steven was saying, was like there being growlers, or maybe Mike was saying that, that'll sustain a lot of the business of like the breweries. The restaurants were already kind of crushing. And I'm seeing people are getting a lot more deliveries when it's raining. Even when it's not that cold, if it's raining, deliveries are crushing. So I think if they have to shut down again, or if it's like snowy or whatever, I mean, that was always true, by the way, even when I was in high school and I was delivering pizzas, if it was snowing on a Saturday or on a Tuesday,
you were delivering.
We were crushing deliveries because people,
that's how we were. When I was managing the pizza shop, the same thing. Yeah, the worse the weather was, it fucking
busier you
were. We were jamming because nobody wanted to go.
Get those snow tires on.
Yeah, exactly. And so with DoorDash and stuff like that now, a lot of these restaurants, once it gets cold, I think are just going to have like a crazy business going on as far as that goes. But it's probably still not going to come close to what it would be, you know.
No, it's not. But it's better than it may keep them afloat, you know.
Yeah, they might
keep them limping along.
Yeah, hopefully get into the, you know, spring, summer of next year, when hopefully we'll have an effective vaccine, or at least get over this hump. Yeah, or some kind of procedure that we can, you know, mitigate the problems. But
so we all got something to drink to share virtually. So what did you guys get? Mike, what are you drinking?
Well, I got MacArthur's Brew House, my Cold Black Heart. It's a IPA, which is obviously, it looks almost like Guinness.
Yeah, I mean, so
it is. It is black. It doesn't really remind me of an IPA at all. It's almost seems like a black lager. It's not quite as thick and heavy as a Guinness, but to me, it doesn't have that IPA, you know, sweat sock cap. Urine, whatever, you know.
What was the name of it again?
My Cold Black Heart.
Okay.
This is from MacArthur's. Yeah.
MacArthur's. Yeah. It's an IPA. It's a black IPA. It's 7.5 ABV.
Okay. And it's not hopsy. It's not bitter hopsy.
Not hopsy at all. It's not bitter. I mean, it's.
I wonder why they call it an IPA.
What's the ABV of it? What's the ABV?
ABU or
IBU?
I don't have the IBU on here. I don't. The ABV is 7.5, but I don't have the IBU. It actually reminds me of, it's similar to like a coffee porter.
Okay.
It's like a thin coffee porter, you know, so it doesn't, it's not heavy. It's not thick and heavy, but it's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good.
I wonder if it was an error and he just said, I'm going to make it this.
I don't know.
Name it this.
Maybe.
Because it didn't turn out like. It's almost making a porter, but it didn't turn into a porter.
It kind of has a little bit of a slight IPA feel to it, like mouthfeel and whatnot, but it's got that coffee overtones to it. You know, it's like the chocolate malts and whatnot. It's different, but I like it.
We loved MacArthur's when we went there. I mean, you guys did the tap talk for MacArthur's, and I was not in attendance, but Lisa and I went and did a couple of flights.
It was good.
Just very happy. I mean, such a little place, and I mean...
We loved it.
It was our favorite in the falls. Arche is my favorite in the area, but it was my favorite in the falls, hands down.
Still haven't been to Arche yet.
Arche's good.
Arche's very good. Suzanne, what are you drinking?
Root beer.
Root beer. Yeah, but isn't it like fancy root beer? It's MacArthur's root beer?
It's MacArthur's root beer.
Oh.
Yeah, it's what we gave to Bart, too.
Yeah, Bart has it. It's okay. It's flat.
It's flat? Aww. Is yours flat too, Bart?
It's not carbonated?
Yeah.
But it's almost like it's diet.
Hmm. Yeah. It's kind of a, has that kind of aftertaste to it. The diet aftertaste.
Mm.
Weird.
Yeah. I remember, we've been to MacArthur's a number of times, and usually the beer's pretty good. Occasionally you'll get something that just yuck. We've had
too often.
Not too often.
Is there artificial?
We've been there where like we tried to beer like one time, and then we've been there like a month later, and the beer was great. And the first time we went there was terrible. It was the same beer. So consistency, I found at first, it's probably maybe they've gotten much better, but maybe the consistency, I didn't find it to be as much as I would like. But maybe they solved that. I don't know. Last few times we went, everything was good. So
I think being in a nano brewery, you know, it's he's got the two small barrels, you know. Yeah. So I mean, he's turning stuff over, you know, real quick, you know.
Yes, but
it's a very, very small batch.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean, it's got a large variety of things.
He has a huge variety.
Especially for such a small place. But a couple of those brews are just fantastic. That sour cherry that he's got, so good.
It's very good.
And there's when we were there, they recommended they recommended that you mix the cranberry and the cherry together, which we did, and it was
so good,
very good. I think it's super cool that they have root beer.
If it's flat and tastes like it's diet. Yeah,
well, I don't like that part.
Yeah, but they're one of the few breweries around here that's doing a non-alcoholic, you know, like a root beer or something for the kids or
for me
or for Suzanne
and Bart.
Sorry, Bart.
We can participate.
Bart, do you like root beer? Would you? Are you the kind of person that would buy root beer?
Like root beer?
Yeah.
I've never liked root beer.
I used to love root beer. You know what I used to love though, even more than root beer? Red Cream. You remember Red Cream?
Red Cream.
I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Reminds me of playing baseball in the summertime, you know?
Like root beer?
Can of Barks Red Cream and, like, some of those, like, paper dot things, you know? Like a pack of those paper dot things.
Yeah, awful. Like when you take them off, you get a little bit of the paper off
Eat some paper and some red dye. Good stuff.
Fiber.
Wood fiber.
Steven, what did you guys get?
Well, I have
Rogue.
Costco has like a 36 pack of Rogue beers, a variety pack. And I bought it last time I went with my dad to Costco because I help him go shopping sometimes. And, this was in the pack. It's a hazy pale ale, Newport Days Rogue. It says dedicated to days on the beach with the Z. It is 5.5%, 35 IBU, and hazy. It's good. It's a light beer. It's pretty tasty.
It's not a light beer.
It's light for me. It's 5.5%. Usually, I like the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Oh, is that your second one?
Yeah.
That you had a different one.
I did it the first.
Oh, that one isn't bad.
Ooh, Mike's got. Is that Masthead?
Masthead coffee stout.
Yeah.
Origin.
Hey, Lisa, what are you drinking?
White Claw, I don't care.
There's no laws when you're drinking the Claw.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking Claws, that's right. This is the black cherry variety. It's only 100 calories, gluten-free, 5% alcohol by volume. It's a spiked, sparkling water with a hint of black cherry.
Looks offended.
Says it's crafted using our unique brew pure process and only the finest flavors to deliver a surge of pure refreshment and a hard seltzer like no other.
Oh, White Claw.
So that's what Lisa's currently doing.
Yeah. Don't be hating. Don't be hating.
I'll just ceremonially. Okay, good.
There you go. This is Platform New Cleveland Pilsner. It's good.
Yeah, it's a nice beer.
Crisp, easy, refreshing. Yeah, that's accurate.
Well, I have Arche the Three Legends New England IPA. It's 6.25 ABV, brewed in Akron. They have a huge new brewing facility and tap room down in what area is Akron is it? It's like by like the spaghetti warehouse. It's in that area.
Oh, down by Gojo and all that.
Yeah, it's
I know where that is.
It's huge. Their new
where Thirsty Dog used to be.
What brewery?
Arche.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Their new place. Yeah, I heard the new place is supposed to be really nice.
Yeah. So this is
This is a really good IPA. It's a little bit less alcohol, which is nice because 16 ounce, like, I can't even hardly drink two of these when it's 7.5 or whatever, or I'll have a headache the next day, which I might anyway, but...
Yeah, if I drink a couple of beers now, I can get a headache if I don't hydrate. It's weird. I have less tolerance.
I don't have that problem. No. Although if I drink too much any kind of wine more than a glass, usually it puts a hurting on me. Wine always seems to give me headaches.
I've always been that way with wine. Also, when you get drunk on wine, it's different.
It's different. Well, here's a question. Are we doing a Arts Corner thing since it's a podcast?
Art,
I don't know,
Bart?
If Bart's got anything. Putting Bart on the spot.
I don't have any arts news.
Oh, okay.
The Mandalorian
started.
The new Milk Studios call for artists. COVID art, the final day for acceptance of art is November 3rd. There's the gallery across from the coffee shop on Front Street.
Yeah, I've seen the sign out there now. Are the Mother's Balls attached to that?
Amy Mother's Ball is the curator, and the final day for acceptance of artwork is November 3rd. I plan on having between 3 and 4 pieces in there.
What's the name of the shop?
New Milk Studios.
New Milk?
Yeah, it's a photography studio. Multiple photographers work for this particular young man.
Oh, you pointed that place out to me when we were going to
They do portraits and other things, and other photographers and other artists can rent studio space to go in and take pictures by the hour, by the day, and they have like a large classroom area where you can go and teach classes if you'd like, or they're also going to offer classes, and that's all I know about it.
When does the show start?
I don't know when the show starts. All I know is the last day to drop the stuff off is the 3rd. All
right, you better crank it out tomorrow, buddy.
It's $7 per piece of art, and then if you win first prize, they give you $100.
Apparently it's Steven's Art Corner this week.
I guess. I just happened to know about that because I just read it the other day, and when's that due? And so I had to read all the information.
Yeah, procrastination, man.
Yeah.
Bart, have you been in Upfront since they moved?
No, I have not yet. They did have a show opening this weekend.
Yeah, they did on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
I haven't been in since they moved.
Yeah. I need to go check it out.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Fallscast this week. Thank all of you. You don't have to hang up. I'm just going to stop recording.
You can say, I'm sorry if I offended anyone.
We apologize for this episode, or you're welcome. We're not sure yet.
Ignore the profanity.
It's probably a little bit of both, depending on who's listening.
It's all my fault. I'll take the blame for it. Fuck it.
For Bart and Mike and Suzanne and Jen and Steven and my mom, Jenny, and my wife, Lisa. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Go vote.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.